heart attacks, all right? Oftentimes, sadly, I have confessed that I have high cholesterol, and I need to be on medication. It's one way I protect my heart from having a heart attack. Another way is I get exercise. I begin to play tennis again. My wife is helping me eat a little bit better. I'm still not good with the vegetables, right? But I'm trying to work on preventing myself having a heart attack. You and I, beautiful heart. But the Word of God speaks into, and I'm really delighted that the Spirit has led Jesse to talk about, you know, how we serve God, because it really is from the heart that we have to have the right motive of serving God. Is it from because we truly have a union, a loving relationship with God, that we serve God? Or like he said, we earn something so he owes us something. No. And our heart will help us discern that if our heart is right. So let us open in a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you that you have given us an incredible heart, a heart that can be longing for you. And it's all because of the great news of the gospel. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We cannot will our heart to change. It's because you have changed our heart with your love and the sacrifice of your Son. So let us embrace this truth that our heart can become somewhat confusing sometimes. And it actually, but it's because of your loving kindness that we can actually have a heart that longs and seeks after you. May today you speak to us about how to guard our hearts against attacks of the heart, that we might honor you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. So let me just turn something on. So, all right, next slide. Thank you. All right, in the Hebrew analogy, just to give you some background, all right, ancient Hebrew analogy, all right, your stomach actually is where your intuition, I have a gut feeling that's a nice person, all right, you have a gut feeling, all right, your stomach is actually your life. As Asian people, boy, we like to have life, we like to eat, all right, but the arm represents power in Hebrew analogy, but the heart, it's not where, I have feelings for you, kind of. It's actually like the mind. But this is the funny thing, all right? The kidney is the center of your emotions in Hebrew analogy. So can you imagine me going home to my wife and goes, Shirley, I love you with all my kidney. If I was Hebrew, that's what I would do, all right? Talking about the heart. And before we jump into talking about the heart, we got to know what is the heart. So next slide. All right. A simple translation, the word heart comes to stand for a man's moral activity, both the rational and the emotional elements. Okay. Next. All right. And before we dance, our heart affects everything we do. What we do begins in the heart. Our heart determines and affects how you live, how you breathe. For out of your heart springs, flows, emanates, originates, radiates your decisions that leads to a certain quality of life. But then there's a warning in the Bible, in Jeremiah 17:9. The Bible says, your heart, my heart, as good as Daniel's heart is, it can be very deceitful. Right? It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Oh, that's scary. Beyond cure? Oh, I'm messed up. Who can understand it? This is the bad news. But the good news is the Lord searches the heart and examines the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deed deserves. So, very much like the gospel, we need to embrace the bad news first. If we get the bad news, the good news is even better. I love what Tim Keller says, and I know Chris knows this quote from Tim Keller. So if we can embrace the bad news that we have messed up hearts, the good news is even brighter and better. All right, So this is what Tim Keller says about the gospel, which talks about that we got messed up hearts. And the Tim Keller says this, right? The gospel is, we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we can ever dare believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we can ever dare hope. So this is the tension that we need to accept, that we are more sinful than we can ever imagine, but we are more loved too. So with the same tension, we got to know that our heart can be very deceitful. But the good news is God has given us a new heart. And that's why we desperately need the gospel to be preached back into our hearts. All right, next. Ah, see, the good news, all right? I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you, and you will move you to follow my decree and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land that I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. That is pretty good news. And I do know, if I'm really honest about myself, my heart can be deceitful. My motivations can be not so pure, all right? Sometimes I catch myself, I am nice to my wife, not because I love her. I love and I'm nice to my wife because sometimes I want something from her. Like, okay, I'll help you clean the table. Well, would you cook me a really yummy meal tonight? You see, my heart is a little bit tricky, right? Versus if my heart was a little bit more right, I would say, you know what, honey, let me just clean the table. Nothing in return. All right? I have to be honest about my heart. My heart can be deceitful. The reasons I even teach and preach sometimes can be mixed, and I have to be honest about that. And the good news is that God continues to examine my heart, continues to love me, and that's why I really love the gospel. It's more about what Christ has done for me than what, like Jesse says, is what we are doing for Christ. Okay, next. All right. This is the passage that will launch us into, all right, in Proverbs 4:18, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever bright to the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. All right. Now, the thing is, how do we guard our hearts? All right, like I said, for me, I need statin drugs. I need exercises. But how do we guard the heart that God talks about? Well, there's many ways, but I'm going to give you two big suggestions. One is what I call defensive, or cleansing of our hearts. And the second one is offense, or the filling of the hearts. And that's how we can defend our heart against heart attacks. All right, let's go to the next one. Okay, why is it important to guard your heart? It affects your whole life and your quality of life and how you interact with others, all right? So, in Luke 6:45, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart, for out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. So what's in your heart will come out. All right? That's why it's so important. You can't keep it all inside. what's in your heart will always come out. And I will point this out even more clearly to you with a visual example later on. You think that you can just control your behavior and be nice. No, no, no. We're not that good at it. What's in our hearts will always come out. And it usually comes out in stressful times. I'll give you examples of that. And then Mark 7:21, for from within, out of a heart of man, proceeds the evil thoughts, fornication, thieves, murders, and adulteries. Next. Okay? So, this is one way to guard your heart, which I call defensive or cleansing of your heart. All right? How? First, we need to cleanse our heart by confession. We need to confess our sins. We need to cleanse our heart because who says we don't sin at least a couple of times a day? I'm honest. Who says they can't? They don't sin a day in a day, right? You guys are honest. How many of you think that you sin multiple times in a day? Yeah, I like that. It's true. Good. Thank you for being honest. And this is why, if we confess our sins, He will be faithful. Let's dive in. 1 John, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Woohoo, right? James 5:16, therefore confess your sins to one or each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed, all right? The prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Wow, it is really good for me. Sometimes when I sin, sometimes it's so bad I just tell God. But I also think that when I can tell a brother, when I get on the phone and, you know, with some level of embarrassment, I tell a good brother that, you know, I sinned. It's very awkward, right? But if I did that, I confess my sin to one another, to another brother, and they accept and they pray for me, I feel so much better. I feel healed. That burden that I've been carrying on, the weight of the sin that I couldn't tell anybody seems to be lighter because I can be able to confess it. So first, how you guard your heart is by confessing to God or confessing to each other. Wow. That is a great avenue of guarding your heart. It's better than Lipitor. Second subcategory of cleansing or defensive is this. Aha. Fancy. Well, okay. How do you guard your heart? Cleansing too. All right. Ephesians 4:26. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not give the devil a foothold, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other as in Christ, God forgave you. Wow. So, the second great move in the defensive or cleansing of your heart is that get rid of bitterness. Get rid of anger, rage, by forgiving each other. Right? It's absolutely necessary. I think one time I talk about forgiveness is actually, it allows you to be closer to God and closer to each other, and it's beneficial for you. But this is definitely another way of guarding your heart against heart attacks of the devil, that you forgive one another. And in life, believe me, as nice as you all think you are, or I think I am, we often offend each other. We say things, we do things, we disappoint each other, and we need to forgive each other as Christ has forgiven us. So let me just give you a more visual example that if I don't make sense, I hope this visual example will make sense. I have a bunch of pointy pins. They hurt. When my wife saw this, she goes, it looks dangerous. All right? These are like bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, all right? you know, bad things you think about each other, right? This is your heart. Okay. Now, if you have bitterness, okay, let's consider this manet to be bitterness. Ooh. Now you have bitterness because somebody offended you and you never talked to them about it, and you really hate them, or your parents, you know, did something that really hurt you and you have bitterness against them, or, you know, your friend did something or said something to you that really betrayed your trust and you're bitter about them, all right? And you don't get rid of it, all right? And the more you hold on to bitterness, all right, it collects more bitterness. You begin to think illy of that person, don't you? It's hard for you to think good thoughts or to even pray for that person. It's sticky. So these are the bad thoughts. And then if you have bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart, you collect even more bitterness, more anger, more evil thoughts. It is so important for us to be of children of God to get rid of bitterness. All right? Because you have bitterness, it's very hard for you to love. So let's get rid of, ouch. See, I told you it was painful. All right? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. All right? How do you get rid of bitterness? What? Give me the word. One. Starts with F. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Now I can actually begin to pray for that person a little bit more. I don't have much anger, hatred, evil thoughts against that person. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. Get rid of bitterness by forgiveness. All right? Oh, I like that. I didn't even come on. Ah, I like that. It rhymes. All right? I'm going to do this as a visual example. If you don't get rid of bitterness, this is how you're going to live. Painfully. Okay? So, that's the defensive or the cleansing. Again, let me remind you. One is to pray, to confess your sins to God, to confess your sins to each other. All right? Subcategory two of defensiveness or cleansing of your heart, it is to get rid of bitterness. Get rid of it by forgiveness. All right? See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. If I threw this at Daniel, it would hurt. That's defiling. Okay? Right. Good. Get rid of it. Now, we'll get into even more. We're going to get a offensive posture about filling our hearts. How can we prevent ourselves from heart attacks or things attacking our heart by being offensive, about filling it. Simply, there's many ways, but let me suggest two that actually has helped me, and I believe that will help you. Next. Okay, guard your heart by filling. Number one, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Yes. So one way of filling your heart or being proactive or being offensive about protecting your heart is praying to God. Praying to God all that's going on in your life, even throughout the day. I know sometimes we have morning devotion and then maybe we say a prayer at night. But you can actually pray to him throughout the day with simple prayers, between classes, between breaks at work, all right, between meetings. You can pray to him. Tell him your anxieties. God is always there wanting to listen. Well, number one, he already knows what is going on in your life. He sees your stress. But he wants you to pray to him because he wants to be part of your life. By praying to him, you make his real presence more real to you. And then with a heart of thanksgiving, because I know God. No matter, I'm confused at this work project that kind of like, it's just insane for my, or how unfair my teacher could be at times, all right? This is way too much for me. Or my parents, oh, they favored my sister more than me or my brother. Oh, it's so bad. Let me pray. Because the reality of God, he is present, but when you pray to him, he's close to you in all those stressful situations. filling your heart with a heart of thanksgiving that God knows what you're going through and he cares for you. Pray throughout the day with a heart of thanksgiving. Filling your heart. That's very proactive and offensive. You strengthen your heart. Next. All right. Psalm 2. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your words. This is the section. Young people. Okay, they're pretty young too. But you young people, okay? All right. How can you stay in the path of purity? Live according to God's word. All right? I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you, that sin against God. Basically, it's exalting us to know the Bible, keep it close to your heart. I'm not telling you to memorize the whole Bible, but I'm saying what little you know of the Bible, young men and young women, try to keep it close to your heart. It's not information that transforms, it's how you live out the truth of God. So keep God's word close to your heart. All right? Read God's word. Again, not just for information, read it as God trying to speak to you directly as well. All right? Psalm 1. I love this passage, all right? Blessed is the one who does not walk in the steps with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the company of mockers. But those whose delight is in the Lord of the Lord and whose meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water which yields its fruit in season. And whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prosper. Basically, in verse 2, it's meditate on God's word. Meditate on God's word. Keep God's word close to you. Just don't rush through. Don't read the Bible like you're reading a novel and just trying to get to the end. We know what the end is. Read the Bible meditatively, slowly. Take it deeply. Chew on God's word. Taste the flavor of God's goodness. All right? So, next. All right. Why is it important to guard your heart? Again, it affects your whole life and your quality of life and how you interact with each other. All right? Again, in Luke 6:45, the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of his heart, his mouth speaks. All right, let me give you another visual so you either stay awake or pay attention. Let me try to pull this off. All right, here's your first visual. Ugh, that does look painful. Okay. This is another way of doing it. Oh, let me clean this off first. This represents your heart. Can you see? It's actually a little heart shape. I cut it out myself. All right. So if you put bitterness, anger, envy, jealousy, pride in your heart, all right. More jealousy, okay, yes, all right. More pride in your heart. Okay, look, it's getting stacked up. That's what's in your heart, all right? And another way of looking at it is, look, all right? If you forgive each other, if you pray for each other, if you meditate on God's word, if you keep God's word close to your heart, if you love each other and serve each other and again pray for each other, what's in your heart? Right? And, life happens, right? You can't avoid life, right? This is your heart, right? And life happens. For instance, all right, you're on a subway, all right? Somebody gives you an elbow right into your chest for no reason in the subway. You start yelling, I want to kill you. And you might even, some of you might break out into not so nice language, right? Because,
New York is not for Hong Kong, Tokyo, Korea. That's what they do to people.
Oh, I know. Exactly. See, exactly. Life happens, right? Things go bump in the night and stuff falls out of your heart. Right? You break up with somebody. Oh, you say all kinds of bad things about them. Wow, no. You lose your job. Oh, you're like, wow. You're saying, oh, the coworker sabotaged me. The boss wasn't fair to me. The stuff that comes out of your heart. Right? And then life happens. Right? Good things. Somebody bumps into you at the subway. It might have been an accident. Maybe it didn't mean to. I'm a sinner just like I made mistakes too. Excuse me, that hurt. Please try not to do it again. Right? Good things. You break up. Maybe there's things I need to learn from this relationship too. Maybe there was flaws that I need to grow from. I wasn't perfect. He or she wasn't perfect. But let me examine my heart because the Word of God examines me. Let me examine my action. Was there something I can learn from it? It really hurts. I lose my job. I am so thankful I had this job. All right? I learned a lot. It wasn't really perfect. There was a lot of stress. I think the boss was not fair to me. But maybe, you know, I know that the Lord is my shepherd. I will not be in want. He will provide for me. The things that you put into your heart. See, the visual is you can't really control what happens to you in life, could you? Right? You can't control that everything is going to be nice in life. But what you can control is what you put into your heart. Because what you put in your heart comes out anyway. See, it determines the quality of life, the kind of life you will have, and the type of interactions you will have with each other. It's so, so important for you to guard your heart. Let the Word of God examine your heart. Fill it with good things. Because you don't want to control your life. You want to live. You don't want to go like, I'm going to be like, nice person. No. That's going to drive you crazy. All right? If you are truly deep inside connected with God and know that you are a sinner, saved by grace, you be gracious. When even the things that you don't understand, when life happens to you in New York City, Tokyo, or Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because your heart is filled with God and His goodness, not with the things of the world. Guard your heart. Not with Lipitor, with God's word, God's fellowship, God's perspective. This is so important. It is not about controlling your actions of life. It's about filling your life with the life of God. So your life would overflow with goodness. So that's it. Two defensive stands, all right? Two offensive stands, all right? You saw, get rid of, painful. No. All right? See, last time I lost a couple of marbles. Never mind. Anyway, so lastly, trust in the Lord with all your hearts. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will direct your path. So really, seek the Lord with all your hearts by filling it with good things, by getting rid of the things the Bible has directed you to get rid of. Let's pray. Lord God, we are so thankful that You are such an incredibly loving God, that even though we are wicked and deceitful down to the core of our being, You loved us and You hold on to us. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ that You have given us and that we are able to receive this heart of flesh, that we can actually long to put good things in our hearts, not from controlling our lives, that we might have a life full in You. So Lord God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, would You grant us a heart that longs for You, that seeks Your will for our life, and to meditate on Your word day and night, that actually not out of legalism, because we want to have a passion for life, and we want the fullness of life in You. We give You thanks for Your word. May you speak to us and continue to speak to us because you are God who loves us. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.